Hey there, this is Jessica Stewart, and you are listening to Finding Your Calm with Your Teenager, episode number 42. Anyone out there struggle to remain calm when dealing with your teenager? It's certainly been something that I have struggled with in my parenting journey, so that's what I'm here to help you with. This podcast will give you really practical advice and tips to remain calm when dealing with your teenager, because I truly believe if you can remain calm when doing this, you can remain calm in pretty much any situation. So listen in and enjoy. Welcome, and so glad you're here spending some time listening today. And what I'm going to be talking about in this episode is how we need to change as parents as our teenagers change. As they grow from younger children into the teenage years, they're of course changing and we see all of this, but I don't think sometimes we realize that our ways of being with them need to change or need to be looked at and just given some readjustments and a perspective in how we're actually behaving. And I have a metaphor, of course. If you listen or if you listened before, you know I love a good metaphor because they just help me understand things so much easier. And this, so I'm going to kind of explain the metaphor, of course, about changing with our teenager and changing our parenting style with some definitions just to help clearly illustrate it. And I'll also talk about the challenges of changing as our teenagers change. Change is always challenging, and especially when we have to look at changing our parenting style. And also I will give you some practical tips just to help make this transition easier. So I'll give you some questions to think about and just some food for thought as you move forward and just think about this concept a little bit. So the metaphor I'm using actually comes from a book which I've referenced before, and it's called The Grown-Up's Guide to Teenage Humans, and it's by Josh Shipp, and it's a wonderful book on parenting teenagers. And what he talks about in this book is the idea that we start out when our children are in their younger years as more like air traffic controllers for our children. And then to help illustrate this point, I looked up a definition of what an actual air traffic controller does. So I know that we can kind of guess what they do. We sort of know what an air traffic controller does. But the definition that I found was air traffic controllers' primary concern is safety, but they also must direct aircraft efficiently to minimize delays. So you can see a bit how this translates to parenting. We are heavily involved in all aspects of our children's lives, in keeping them safe, anticipating issues before they happen, keeping things running as smoothly as possible. And as with flights, there will be turbulence, of course, as with real life. But the pilot never flies without the safety of the guidance of the air traffic controller. So in the course of parenting, there is a time that we need to realize and transition as they age and they gain more independence from us. And then we are going to transition more into a coach role. And so what the definition of a coach is, I think that most people, I didn't really find a definitive definition, but most of us know what a coach in sports does. And that's sort of how I view coaching. That's how I view life coaching as well. It's that we're not just telling our children what to do. And myself as a life coach, I don't just tell my clients what to do. I give them ideas. So what I want to just delve into this a little bit more is the coach demonstrates leadership, support, boundaries, and can also have the ability to step back and many times see the broader vision of what's happening. So if you think of a coach looking at the whole field instead of just what is happening with a singular player, they're looking at the whole broader vision of what's happening. But the key difference here is that the coach is not on the field playing the game for the players. So like what would happen if the coach ran onto the field and took the ball from the players? Yet this is so often what we do as parents. We just kind of run in and take the ball from them, steal what they're going to do. Like we swoop in, try to fix the problem because that's what we're so used to doing as air traffic controllers. And just by very virtue of what is called air traffic controllers, we're getting into a more controlling situation. And also of note here is the players may not always do what the coach tells them to, and then there will be consequences to that, but there is also clarity in those consequences. And a good coach will also communicate those consequences ahead of time, or if it's after, they'll communicate why they're actually putting out those consequences. So why do we as parents resist making this transition from like an air traffic controller to more of a coach? And there are a few reasons that we do this, and it makes so much sense. So we are often afraid to let them fail, and mostly because we make it mean that we don't want them to experience the pain or any negative emotions associated with failure, but also because we make it mean that if they fail in some way or they try things and they don't work out for them, that that makes it mean something about how we've parented them or our success or failure as a parent, instead of realizing that failure is a necessary part of growing as a human. And it has also become sort of more the social norm, and I found this with parenting all throughout, is that it's the social norm to be super involved in every single aspect of our kids' lives. And that sometimes when we're not orchestrating every experience for them so that our children don't have to experience discomfort, it can make us feel like we're counter to what we're supposed to be doing. Like I often found that I was in school situations where parents were orchestrating, you know, what classes their kids were going to be in, whether they were going to be in a split class or a full grade class, like a split grade class. And I never really orchestrated this stuff. And mostly because I guess my parents never did this for me, so I kind of adopted their way of being. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but when you're not doing something that the rest of the parenting culture seems to be doing, you can often feel like you're doing something wrong instead of sort of trusting how you're doing your parenting journey. So it kind of makes us experience this discomfort if we are stepping back. Like it almost feels a bit foreign to us to step back from the super involvement that we have with our children's lives when they're very young. And if we're letting them have this independence and freedom, we actually have to step back, which can feel a bit jarring. It can bring up a lot of our own fears and worries. And that we are beginning to realize and understand, and I think we understand throughout the parenting journey, is that we can't shield our children completely from experiencing discomfort or negative emotions. And our jobs as parents is actually to teach them how to manage the positive emotions and also manage the negative emotions. And we do this by managing our own and by accepting it as part of the human experience. We also often believe that we can do it better. We know better. And this is often just because we are the parents. And that's also something that's been handed to us, is that as parents, we know best. And we, if our kids are being respectful to us, they're going to listen to everything that we say. And this can not always be the truth. Like I have found that I have ideas about what my teenagers should do or what I think they should do as they've grown older. But often when I've let them sort of lead the way and figure out a lot of their own paths, they have gone in directions which turned out to be very right for them And I look back and I realize I didn't really have anything to do with it other than just allowing it to happen. Like, I'm keeping them in a safe space, but there's also room for them to, you know, grow and explore and do different things that I wouldn't even have thought of for them. But they sort of instigated that on their own. Now, it also always feels like less control. And it, in fact, is less controlling. And it's not comfortable to feel less in control of our kids' lives. So when we were orchestrating everything, when they were with us all the time, wherever we went, we felt this sense of control. Now, when they do things more independently, so when they start doing things like taking the car out and driving, or going out with their friends without us, or going to the park, or just doing things like on their own, and that may happen before they become teenagers, but there's things that they do on their own, and then what that brings up for us is that these fears and worries, and that we are fearing maybe for their safety, we're worrying that they will know what to do, and all these thoughts that come up for us as parents, sort of being the air traffic controller. Hear that? So the controller part of that, it feels better to us because we have this sense of control. So all of this makes sense. So if you're in the sort of more air traffic controller camp right now, no judgment on it. It's just, it feels better to feel like you're in more control. But I just wonder how that works for you. So you can just examine that for yourself. Is this way of being with your teenager still working? Are the things that you did with them when they were younger still working as they've gotten older? And I can just speak for myself that I cannot stay the same as a parent as my teenagers, as my kids grew into teenagers. I had to change right along with them. And this required a lot of dealing with my own stuff, my own negative emotions that came up. So it was more about dealing with me. And another thing that comes up is we sort of have to think about doing less for them as they get older and more of a state of being with them. How are we being with them? How are we being around them? So you're sort of transitioning from the doing with the younger children to just how are you being when you're with them? And that's where you can invest your thinking. So the three tips I have for you in how we can make this leap or transition from air traffic controller are, the first is identify who are you acting more like in most of the situations with your teenager. So just notice who you are being more like. Are you trying to exert more control over the situation and do things yourself? Or are you leaning towards the guiding that a coach would do from the sidelines? So noticing where you are at is always a great place to start. And also the next tip, number two, is resist the urge to run on the field and fix everything immediately, okay? Except, of course, if it's a life-threatening emergency, absolutely go deal with that. But just having some trust in your teenager that they may have the answer to the issue already or know the best thing to do in the situation. And you can be the guiding coach to help them maybe come up with some of their answers. Like, what do they think they should do in this situation? And you may be very surprised by the brilliance that they come up with. And also is to use more questions with your teenager. So you can ask things like, do you need me to help you solve this right now? Or do you just want me to listen? So ask them more questions. We're so quick to want to solve and fix everything, every problem or perceived problem and every negative emotion or feeling. And just think back to yourself when you're feeling bad and somebody tries to get you out of that feeling immediately or provide a solution. So I don't know about you, but for me, like when I'm worried about something and then somebody says, oh, don't worry. That doesn't work. It doesn't work to stop me from worrying. Or if I'm angry about something and somebody just tells me to calm down or relax or chill. So that for me is just infuriating. It's like you're going in, stealing the ball from them. So the ball in this metaphor again, I'm giving you one. The ball in this metaphor is the worry, the anger, whatever you're feeling. And somebody just comes in and takes it from you and swoops in and says, oh, you don't need that. Instead of just like looking at the ball and looking what's actually going on and just the way you can help them in this situation is not tell them stop worrying or stop being angry or calm down or chill or relax. The way you can help is saying more like out of curiosity, like what's going on? And then really just listen. There is so much power in that and more than you know, because again, I'm going to refer back to the doing. We're just so used to doing and not so much of in being in the being space. Just be with. So do less for, be with more is something that I try to remind myself and remember. You being with your teenager or your child as they're experiencing something is super valuable without taking the ball from them. And this doesn't feel so natural to us, but try it and see how that is. Okay. So, just really check these tips out in your own interactions with your teenager and see what results you get. So just to recap, first, identify who are you acting more like in these situations. Next, resist the urge to run on the field and fix everything. And then the third tip is to use more questions with your teenager and just be with them. Do less for, be with more. Okay? So I hope this is helpful and I will talk to you next week. Thanks so much for listening. And I am a life coach, if you didn't know. And what I'm doing is I'm starting my 6-week coaching program to launch it. And I'm actually looking for some people to go through it with me for free. And this is a 6-week life coaching program on how to improve your relationship with your teenagers. And I'm really looking for some people to be part of this program with me to help me refine it. And I know that I can help you and get you to a place where you're feeling better about your relationship with your teenager. You're feeling more confident with your parenting. And you are knowing how to manage your emotions, and working one-on-one with me will help you with this for sure. And I would be so happy to work with you and offer you this amazing value. And you would pay me with your time, and I would be so grateful for the opportunity to coach you if you're interested. So I am going to leave my email address in the show notes. And if you are interested in a space, please feel free to email me and we can talk about it and jump on a call and see if this might be something that you would be interested in doing. I absolutely believe that this coaching that we have learned has been the best thing for me and for my relationship with my teenagers, first and foremost, but all of the relationships in my life. And I know for sure that I can help you achieve this as well. So I can't wait to hear from you.